It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday. I hope. Tell a friend we'd like to have more than our three listeners. We're starting to climb the hill, but we're not doing as good as I anticipated, but we're doing fine. Deal. I'm looking at my executive producer who is yawning.
I think he just barely made it under the
just
radar.
Just barely. Right? Had 30 seconds to spare.
I mean, he sat down and started the music up.
I've been here for hours, fellas. I don't know what you're talking about. I slept
Blake,
here last night.
We love
night.
You. We love you anyway. You know, what the hell? It all started with improper potty training, but it's okay. You're going to be okay. You know, so what the heck?
That's why we keep the mat back here on the producer floor.
And the pens. In the studio, I'm basking in the glory of my co-host, Mark Tobin, Greg Thompson in here, and one of my dearest friends, and I've been trying to get Trevin Reed is here with us, and we're going to take you sheep hunting today, talk about the great world of sheep. Now, these aren't the ones walking across the pasture going, bah! These are not the ones that give you wool. These are actually wild sheep. And I was kind of amazed. I was put up a lot of trial balloons this week about this sheep hunting show and the people that didn't know about the species of sheep here in North America. But we'll educate you. It's not for the faint of heart. If you've ever wanted to go sheep hunting, you better talk to your psychiatrist first and then go sheep hunting second. It's a very trying deal. Mark, what's the bite? Anybody catch any fish?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, it's the weather's hot, but the fishing is hot as well. Boy, I'm just hearing all kinds of fantastic stories. One of the funnest things that's going on right now, you know, the shad have spawned, and I guess there's just clouds of little bitty one-inch shad that are all over the place right now. And anywhere where there's shad, there's the white bass and the hybrids are busting into them. We're hearing about a lot of topwater action right now, and that's just so much fun. You'll see them, and just keep an eye to the horizon. And you know, some lakes where there's seagulls, the seagulls will tip off the location of those fish, but others you'll just see the fish splashing. And from what I'm hearing, Lake of the Ozarks, Truman, Milford, Clinton, a lot of topwater action going on right now, and it's happening early and late. But you'll see them, and the water just gets beat to a froth, and it's so much fun. All you got to do is get to them, and this is the time when it can be a little frustrating when you see all these fish that are active.
Drives you nuts.
Yeah.
Nutter.
Well, they are very size specific to what they're going to bite on because they're gorging themselves on these little one-inch shad, so you want a small lure. Things like rooster tails are probably one of the best lures to use right now.
Why not?
Or a little one and a half inch crappie jig. If you want to catch them on topwater, which you can when they're doing that, something like a Zara puppy. It's a little, the smaller version of a Zara spook. Another thing that I'll do is just take a little 1-inch crappie jig on a 16th ounce head and put it under a bobber. Throw it out there, and that works. That's so much fun.
Is it Milford to Hot Lake?
Truman is on Lake of the Ozarks is good. It's good. But, yeah, Milford catching tons of hybrids out there right now. Again, now this is 3 weeks in a row now that's going on out there. But the topwater action is good early and late, especially late. If you're good to pick one or the other, definitely pick late, the last hour of daylight, and then even going into the night. And catching a lot of crappie at night, too, at Truman. I guess from what I'm hearing, Truman is just easy right now for crappie. People are dragging flicker shad, crankbaits, and catching walleye. Some are using jigging rapalas, which is, have you ever seen those?
No.
It's a little bait. It's kind of got a hook that comes out of the, I know you see them, hook comes out of the tail and out of the head, and you hook it.
What do they call it?
A jigging rapala.
It looks like what they used to jig in the ice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yep, but that, okay, they're catching walleye on that right now. I heard Cody from Cody's Bait and Tackle. I saw a report that he did. He said he thinks the walleye fishing right now on Truman Lake of the Ozarks is the best that he's ever seen.
That's quite a statement.
Yeah, it is, right. So,
and his hybrids, I mean, they're going out for 45 minutes an hour, and they're catching three limits, four limits.
Yeah.
Wow.
And throwing the shorts back.
Yeah, it's on fire. And speaking of Cody.
And catfish.
How can I get a hold of Cody?
Cody's Bait and Tackle. I'll post it later. I got to tell you a little bit about Cody. So the city of Warsaw decided that they weren't going to be able to do the fireworks this year. So Cody took it on himself to get donations, and he's probably going to have one of the biggest fireworks displays down in that area on July the 3rd, right there at his shop. He's going to have food available. He's just taking, I believe, a free will donation or something for the food. That guy's just good people.
He says it's his customer appreciation, and it's going to be an all-day deal. He says he'll have all kinds of things for kids to do, and again, like Greg said, the food, and then he had on his fishing report, it was a video that he did and showed a little bit of the fireworks that he had. And it's cool. Cool that he's doing that.
He's going to smoke two whole alligators.
Alligator.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Wow, how fun.
How many alligator meat for a week? Gee whiz. But that ought to be kind of cool.
If you can stand the heat, it's time to get out there. Now, I'm Richard Bowling out there, the guide over at our favorite guide on Truman. He says minnows are definitely better. Cody says jigs and minnows, but, this time of year you can definitely increase your odds if you have minnows. But talk to Toby Lewandowski. He from Acute Angling, and he was in Canada all last week, so he's just back to reality. Going back out, he's got a tournament he's fishing today and then back to guiding tomorrow. So we'll get more information what's going on.
Richard Boland, have you talked to him?
Yeah. He says it's too easy. Now, the thing down at Truman, it's just a little bit high now, but they're shut the water down quite a bit. And probably this week they'll shut it down completely. And so the fish are a little bit different than they were when they were running water consistently. So the fish, those white bass and hybrids that were up on the weir, they're starting to scatter a little bit, but that whole area out there.
Yeah, it's alive, isn't it?
Yo, guy. Cody said he put his boat in up at Shawnee Bend, and just as he was putting the boat in, he said there was probably 8 or 10 groups of fish surfacing out there.
Wow.
And he saw that all morning. Richard, he's catching his fish. He's in 10 to 20 foot of water, catching them anywhere from 9 to 12 feet deep. But so they were positioned pretty much. When they're running water, the crappie, we used to think that they were on the backside of any kind of tree or any kind of cover, mm-hmm. and where the shad would congregate because it was less current, but they don't. They ambush the fish in front against the current. But now that the current is gone, the fish are more scattered. But he says it is literally unbelievable how many crappie you'll find on a tree. He said you'll see 100, 150 fish on one tree.
Whoa.
So there's it's hard to target a big one. Because there's just so many of them in there.
Uh-huh.
But he says it's just nothing to catch a limit. I mean, just absolute nothing right now.
I was online last night looking at fishing reports, too, and Table Rock. I don't think of it as a walleye lake.
We didn't used to, anyway.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. those guys have got them figured out, and their quality. There's a lot of 8-pound walleye. Missouri, got to show me. Maybe they're wearing their thumb a little bit, but I don't think they really developed it. I think it just kind of happened. I don't know if they were stocking or not.
Yeah, they were.
They were?
Uh-huh.
Up the James or something?
I don't know where they put them in at, but I know that they've been on the list of the five reservoirs, I think it is, that they receive. But I think they do pretty good. They're on their own on that lake.
Yeah,
they'll
evidently.
Run up the James and
they must spawn,
and spawn.
Out all right by themselves.
Right.
You know? And I'm telling you, I saw some pictures. They said they weighed 8. I suppose they did. I don't know. But, they're an awful nice walleye. And a gentleman that was on that deal said, I can target those walleye on that table. There's a hump out there somewhere out not too far from the dam. And he said, they're there.
Well, it sounds like it's just, this is time. This is the best time. I was talking to Brian Andreka from the Kansas Angling Experience. These are three guides that we mentioned that you really, if you need a guide, if you want a guide, if you want to go learn to fish, these guys are as good as anybody out there. And Brian, he's just been hammering the walleye and sawguy this past week.
Fluffy.
Walleye are just stupid, stupid in June.
Stupid
and
in June.
He's going out and getting walleye limits, 2 and 3 walleye limits in an hour and a half.
Is he talking about quality, though?
He has pictures on his Facebook page. These are all nice fish. I mean,
3-pounders?
3, 4, 5, 5. And maybe even bigger. All nice quality fish, yeah.
You know, last year we were talking last Saturday. We had Brent Frazee in here. That was a great time with Brent. He was potty trained, too. But we had Brent in here. And I thought last year was a great fishing year. This year here might be even better.
Even better, yeah. Especially right now, for whatever reason, things just are happening good right now.
Exactly.
It's just the heat, though. You know, that can definitely, you know, that's tough.
Heat and water level.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Table rock, I think, back down to normal, back to power pool. So you can pattern them a little bit better when they're on power pool.
You know, right.
Those guys know where them humps are, and they can figure them out.
Well, you talk about table rock. Another thing down there is the bluegill fishing that they have. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of them, and they're big. And they're so much fun. My daughter and son-in-law have a beautiful home here on a little lake in Raymore. It's called Creekmoor. And we've been fishing out there a lot the last several weekends. And we've just been fishing for bluegill and crappie off their dock. And this started about a month and a half ago. I went down there with a regular crappie jig. It's 2-inch, 2.5-inch, whatever, with an eighth-ounce head. And we caught a few, no big deal. But my son came down there, and he put on a small little 32nd-ounce head and a 1-inch crappie jig. And literally, ever since then, every weekend, you cannot keep the crappie and the bluegill off that little thing. Downsizing made all of the difference in the world. Now, there's a lot of little fish in that lake, and they recommend that you keep anything that you catch out there, which I have no problem with. But every now and then we catch big one. I had a 2 weeks ago, I had a 16-inch crappie on one of those little tiny.
That'll work.
Yeah, I mean, it's big.
Work. Good fillet off of 16-inch
crappie. Oh, well, and those bluegill, I'm telling you what, there is nothing better. I just love bluegill.
Yeah, but you eat blue cat too, but that's okay. All right,
you know, you were talking about Frazee. I went out fishing Wednesday with Grandpa.
Oh,
Grandpa
yeah?
Fish, Fish, yeah.
Did you?
Actually caught a few on hula poppers.
How fun.
I really believe that they should do a reality show with him, because I think he'd be a hit with the ladies in their 80s.
Oh.
we had more fun talking than we did fishing.
You know, he got his teeth back in, and boy, he looks a lot better.
He looks so much younger.
He looks so much younger. If we could just get him to dye his hair and lose 30 pounds, man, I'll tell you what.
Oh, he's
kind of
lady
buff.
Killer, yeah.
You know, what's we are brought to you, and proudly so, by King City Lumber Company, kingcitylumber.com. If you've not been to their website, you're the last human on the face of the earth has not been to their website. For you guys, I just love the picture they have on the front of their brochure. That building is about as cool as it gets. Of course, I'm kind of into that, but that is they are the best master carpenters. They use first-rate lumber. They will build it right. They will not leave your place until you're happy. You remember that? And if you would happen to have a problem, and a lot of these problems are the foundation settles out or something bad that, you know, Mother Nature did, they'll come back and fix it. They're that kind of people. I just love these guys, Marty and Monty Tunks. They're fine people. They're good rodeo people. Did you guys know that?
No, I had no idea.
Did not.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're serious about it, too. They're good at it, too. But anyway, kingcitylumber.com. Please take a little time out of your life. If you go on there and you don't see what they want, they will help you design it and build it. There's nothing they can't do. They're unbelievable people. Kelly Kurtz, you know, came in and talks with us every spring.
Oh, yeah.
He had a building up there, and he said, looks like it was, you know, built it 10 years ago and still looks like it's brand new.
Cool.
So that's the way they do business. KingCityLumber.com. We've got to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to take you sheep hunting. Trevin Reed is here in the studio. Were you thrown out of Reed Chevrolet the other day?
I wasn't thrown out, no. I was warned.
You were warned.
Yes.
Politely asked
to leave.
They're the
nicest people.
I know, yeah.
We'll shut Trevin's mic off. They're nice people, aren't they?
I couldn't be more impressed.
I want to know how much more it costs them to sell a vehicle with all the chocolate that Mr. Ramsey comes up and eats on a daily basis.
Is that an expense?
It's a pretty significant expense.
Yeah. And what he doesn't know is, while he went to the bathroom a little while ago, we've been talking about this for 3 weeks, about giving away a new Silverado pickup.
And I appreciate that.
And then we put his name, and I got drawn out of that. What was weird.
Wow.
Yeah, good
so
luck.
I'm
what are the
really
chances?
Looking forward to this one.
Yeah,
and
good luck in delivery on that one.
He's so kind.
just for you, Fred.
I won. We're going to take a little break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. In the studio with me again, my co-host Mark Tobin. I bask in his aura. He's a good human, as we say. Blake Sneeder is at the controls in the other room, belching, passing gas, making obscene gestures. And also in here, Greg Thompson. But my favorite guest, I've been wanting him on the air with me for, I asked him a while back, and he works too much. That's what's wrong with. Trevin Reed is with me, and we're going to take you into the world of sheep hunting. And I said earlier in the show, I put some trial balloons out about the sheep hunting show, and people said, you know, like the ones going, bah, walking around the pasture. No, these are wild sheep. Four species of sheep in North America, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
What are they?
You've got the Rocky Mountain, the desert sheep, the desert bighorn, then the two thin horns, the stone sheep that's primarily up in Canada, and the Dall sheep that's in the Northwest Territories, Yukon area, and then Alaska.
Now, you've been fortunate enough to harvest two of the species so far.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Don't give up. Now, you're going after the stone here before long?
48 days.
Yes. Who's counting?
No, yeah, not that I'm counting.
Who's counting?
12 hours, 15 minutes.
About like my duck season, 93 days away, you know. But I'm always amazed that people don't understand. Now, here's the whole deal about sheep hunting. I've been there, done that, and it is tough. You got to have a mental capacity of a grape to go do this, you know. I mean,
that's the truth.
It is. It's really, really an uphill battle, and almost to the pact where you'd have to hate them. But I was telling you on the way down here this morning, rode down with me, and I spent 10 days under a rock up in the Hell Roaring, which is above Yellowstone. I didn't kill a sheep. It's the most memorable hunt of my entire life. I was walking on places that no one had ever put a foot on.
I believe it.
And it's just unbelievable, you know. And it's so pristine and so beautiful back there. I remember sitting up on the mountain one day, and a jet airplane went by, and I thought, I bet they're up there drinking coffee and smoking cigars, you know. And you go 10 days without talking to somebody, it's something happens to you. I don't know why. I think that's where I went off the edge, but it's just absolutely unbelievable. When I came down out of the mountains, there was a pickup truck coming up, and these guys were from Georgia, and they had that early elk season in there too. And I flagged them down because I wanted to hear a human voice.
Yeah.
It was weird. And the first thing I said to them, did Missouri win, you know, da-da-da-da, you know. And they didn't know, of course. But it was just so good to hear a human voice again on the deal. It was really, really weird on the deal. Now, this is not for the faint of heart. Now, the guy that Jimmy Johns bought a permit, and I think he gave some ungodly amount of money for it, wasn't it?
I think several times. Yeah, he set the record not long ago with what he paid for the Montana governor's tag. I think it was, don't quote me on this, but it was at or close to $500,000.
Half a mil to go up there and hunt sheep. Yeah. And the money that generates, to him, it's not the money. It's the fact that it generates. Sheep have problems. They have diseases. They inoculate them, catch them. Sheep don't just hang out, you know, in life, and things are tough for them on the side of that mountain, you know, them severe winters and all that stuff. So they're doing additional research. It's like the people that go to Africa and hunt Cape Buffalo, where everybody says, well, you pay all this money. Yeah, but the money goes back into habitat. It goes back into research and development. So hunters pay their way, and people need to understand that. $500,000 is a lot of money. I don't care who you, if you're Warren Buffett, it's a lot of money. But when you've got a cause like that that needs help, to him, that was just the ultimate thing that he could do on the deal. Now, you went to Alaska last year?
2020. Yes, sir.
And tell me about that hunt.
That was an amazing hunt. You know, I'd hunted, you talk about the Hell Roaring being a special place, it is. Spent some time in the Beartooths prior to that. And I thought I'd been in some remote areas before. Until you get in Alaska and you fly in a bush plane to one place and you're hours from anywhere. And you get another bush plane, you fly, you know, 150, 200 miles further in the middle of nowhere. And you realize that it's about as remote as I've ever been. And if something bad happens, it could get bad real quick.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit intimidating from the vastness of Alaska. It is the last frontier for sure, but it is a unbelievably beautiful place. And I've been in places where I thought weather was rough, but nothing like
with
I
Alaska.
Saw. We had every type of precipitation every day but one, and it was intense, and it was a blast. Probably one of the most fun experiences I've ever had.
Was there a lot of sheep in that area?
You know, I'd heard mixed reports on the way in. It was in the Wrangell Mountains there, the National Forest, and there's a draw area. I did not hunt the draw area. The draw area, the biologists and the outfitters were all kind of complaining that there's a big die-off the previous winter. And so I didn't go in with a lot of great expectation, but when we got in there, we saw sheep every day, all day. We're right on the edge, right on the border with the Yukon, and so every day we'd have 30, 40 sheep meander across from the Yukon, feed into Alaska, and then kind of scatter once they hit that range. But it was an awesome place to see just a ton of sheep, primarily using lambs, but we saw 20-ish rams. Some were over in the Yukon, some were on the Alaska side, and was fortunate to shoot one opening morning.
Is that a antler restriction area too?
So Alaska has three criteria, and it's got to be 8 years old, which I can get an accountant annual eye on sheep, and yeah. that's not a game I want to play.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Get false rings and all kinds of stuff, or full curl on one side, or it's got to be double broomed, so both the lamb tips broken off on both sides. So it's got to fit one of those three criteria. And the one the outfitters love, and if you're not an Alaska resident, you have to go with an outfitter. They love the double broom because you can see it from a mile away. And that makes sense. Ended up shooting a full curl that was 10.5. Really, beautiful sheep, but it was the whole experience that – and that's – you mentioned sheep hunting. You need to talk to your psychiatrist. I would echo that. This is one of those –
It's tough.
Straight
up, straight down.
Absolutely.
And get up in the morning, you're sore, you're tired, and you don't eat right, and don't sleep good, but you got to get going.
I remember sending my dad an in-reach message at one point. They're like, "What do other people do for fun?" Because this isn't a whole lot of fun at the time, but it is one of those. You come back, you appreciate. You go to the kitchen, you turn on the faucet, water comes out. It's pretty amazing.
It really is.
So that's what it is.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Jimmy John's. Like that's one side of the spectrum. You can spend a ton of money sheep.
Oh yeah.
Or there's some place in the lower 48 you can do it. Pretty relatively inexpensively, and that's the Hell Roaring Beartooth there. Done that.
Yeah.
It's a blast.
What time of year were you in Alaska?
Early August. So the sheep opened August 10th, and that's the day I shot the sheep. I think I got up there the 2nd or the 3rd.
Is it light all day then?
Yes, almost. So from probably 1 o'clock in the morning to 1:45, it'd be almost kind of like dusk,
right?
But never fully dark. And so shot the sheep at like 8 o'clock at night, and by the time we got down to him, it's almost midnight. By the time we packed him back out, it was an all day thing and never got dark.
Now that part of the world does get dark during the winter all day. How do those animals survive?
I don't know.
That's a great
there?
Question.
That is a great question.
Just amazes me. I mean, you talk about a harsh environment.
Oh,
that's got to be it.
It doesn't get any harsher, I don't think. Maybe the Sahara Desert, but I don't know. That's a harsher area.
One of the stories you told me while you were there was kind of a weird. You guys got forced down with the airplane to land a little strip, and a guy comes out of the cabin with a cup of coffee, and he's from St. Joe, Missouri.
No way.
Small world. and new Fred. So we landed in Shoshana, this old mining town, and there's a husband and wife there. Ended up meeting one of the guys off the they do the homestead rescue. He was up there at one point, but we get weather's bad, so we're in a Super Cub. You can see about 100 yards off the nose, so the pilot makes the right call. We're gonna put this thing down. I think I can put it down here. So we land on the sandbar adjacent to these old cabins. I thought they were abandoned, but we get out of the airplane, and here comes a guy with two cups of hot coffee. Come to find ice from St. Joe, Missouri. So, yeah.
What are the chances?
Small world, isn't it?
Right. Hey, I want to go back for a second. You said 10.5. For somebody that doesn't hunt sheep, what does that mean?
So 10.5, 8, they're considered fully mature. So on 10.5, he's probably starting that decline towards life's getting a little hard for him.
You're talking about 10.5 years old.
10.5 years old.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they got growth rings on them, right?
They do.
And
they
so
do.
You can count the rings and say how old a sheep is?
Yes, you can. The tricky part, the difference between a false ring and a true annuli is it'll catch your fingernail on a true annuli. The false rings won't catch your fingernail. So there's a little divot in the horn. So how you want to try to count that through a spotting scope at 600 yards is – That's a venture I don't want to go down.
And if they did capture you for shooting an illegal ram, and it could look legal, boy, it's a serious offense to those guys. And I don't blame them.
I don't either.
It's a very precious asset. And how many were allowed to kill in that area,
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I knew there was some – the outfitters up there have concessions, and the concessions are essentially they're the outfitter allowed to hunt this part of the range – But then you have residents that can hunt wherever they want. We did encounter or met a couple residents up, great guys. They were coming out as we were going in. It was a father-son on a early season youth hunt, and they were unsuccessful, but just really nice guys. And I would say that everybody I met in Alaska, I mean, we those guys are tough.
Oh, yeah. They're a different breed.
Really genuine people. Really enjoyed. Everybody I got the chance to visit with up there was a good human being.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Thin horns, is that the
Dall sheep and stone sheep?
Or still what they call thin horns. Yes, why is that vocabulary used on them?
Well, you know, I think it is that they just have thinner horns.
It's just all yeah. It is. Yeah. It comes to a point, don't or they peak out a little bit or something, but they do call them thin horns.
They do. Their bases are about, you know, similar to a big horn, whether it be a Rocky Mountain or a desert, but the horns don't ever, they don't carry their mass through the horn length.
Okay. Now, this one you got, you thought was 10 years old?
Yes, sir.
You're 10 years old, huh? Mm-hmm. Wow, what an honor.
And what did you shoot it with and how far?
I shot him at 625 yards.
Wow.
It was a – I enjoy shooting long range. It's right. It's one of my pastimes. The interesting story, and I've never had a good stalk. This was one of those epic stalks, low crawling across this boulder plateau, up around a young ram. And these three older rams were feeding right to the Yukon, and we're right on the border. And so at 625, he stopped, turned broadside, talked to the guy. I can hit him. He goes, try it. So I shot him and hit him hard the first shot, put a second one in him, and he went down. But if it was one of those, if I didn't shoot him then, he was headed to Canada, and we can't follow him. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What round were you shooting?
6.5 Creedmoor. Which, doing that all over again, I don't know that I'd take a 6.5 Creedmoor to Alaska. There's some big bears up there.
Isn't that a pretty light round, actually?
It's a very light.
That far?
Bucks the wind really well, and it's
that's
predictable.
That's about what amounts to. Yeah, it's predictable and bucks the wind.
Consistent
real good.
Bucks the wind, and that's handy in the mountains, obviously.
Now, while you're there, everybody comes back with a bear story. Did you guys have one?
We did have a bear story. The first bear I saw up there, was watching a young bull moose run over one of these little grassy knolls, and he keeps looking over his shoulder, and behind him, here comes a big brown bear.
Ow.
Up over there. It looks like a Volkswagen bus running over the hill. These things are nasty. We did encounter a bear. The guy I was with, we hit a willow thicket, packing my ram out, and down by stream, and he walks into this thicket and comes right back out. And my headlamp had died, his headlamp had died, and so it's not fully dark, but it is, it's not
gray.
It's gray. It's not comfortably light.
Yeah.
So he comes back out of this thicket, and he's like, hands up, making some noise, like, grab your rifle. Which, of course, both our rifles are strapped to our pack at that point. So kind of move off to the side, unstrap my rifle, and we took a nice wide berth around this little area. I guess he came across a brown bear that was napping, and when he saw him, put his head up, kind of looked at him, and then put his head back down, went back to sleep. Had no interest in him.
That's good.
And,
that's a little close.
It was close. He said it was within 15 yards. I was not that close. I was probably 30 yards.
That's
off
close
the side
enough.
Of him, but yeah.
Especially as fast as they can run.
Oh, yeah.
The ultimate predators, they are.
Yeah.
You only have to be faster than your guide, though.
That's it.
That's right. It's all around, too. Man, what an experience on the deal. Hey, we get to talking there, and we went way past the break time. My goodness, and our producer's got to panic. He's stressing out on me. Has Joe Falco got any boats in?
They do, as a matter of fact. They've got
some.
A few in, yeah. They,
yeah.
Some that have been on order for quite a while, but they did get a few in. And so, good time to make a deal. A lot of people are staying home with the high gas prices, so this is really a good time to buy a boat. But if you are one of the ones that are out there using your boat and you have a problem with it, because it's going to happen, that's why they call a boat, bust out another thousand.
That's what it stands for.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be that way out there. Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic out there, and there's just nothing that they can't fix. And it's kind of like when you go to Reed Chevrolet, if you walk into the showroom there's nothing better than a new vehicle smell or new boat smell.
Exactly.
And I love it. I go over there every week now. I'm mowing a lot next door to Sportsman's Outfitter, and I just like to go in there and
just hang out.
They're such good people. Yeah.
What on a new one. Snorting and wheezing, belching. Yeah.
They know anymore.
Where are they located?
They're out in Belton. Last Belton exit. Cass Road is the exit you take. It's on the west side of 49 Highway.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Midwest Outdoor. Our special guest is Trevin Reed. We're taking you sheep hunting. If you've got someone who's ever thought about that, we're going to pass along a little information with you I think might get you drooling just a little bit here about the Hell Roaring area. People don't know about this, and it is a pretty unique place. So anyway, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Midwest Outdoors. We're taking you sheep hunting today, and we're going to probably broaden your horizon here in just a little bit. But we are brought to you, and I'm so proud of these guys. They came and sprayed my cornfield. It's Sure Ag. Used to be Sure Grow. They're based out of Savannah, Missouri, Osborne, Missouri, and Four City, Missouri. The Bobcats, the Four City Bobcats. But these guys are the most professional people I've ever had on my farm. I've been using them now for 15, 16 years. Wouldn't even think about anybody else. They are, they deliver, they get there on time, they do it professionally, they blend it. They came in, I had a huge problem this year. They came back, didn't give me any grief. I can't say enough good things about Sure Ag. So you guys, we have a lot of farmers that listen to this show, and my goodness, professionalism. You know, it used to be the old adage, make every acre count. Well, the input cost is so high right now in farming, you better make every inch count. So these guys are the guys you want on a farm. They're going to leave your farm in better shape. If something goes wrong, which, you know, in the chemical business, sometimes the chemicals work, sometimes they don't because of other factors. But they will come back. They will work with you in any way they possibly can. I've never been around a more professional people, precise in their blendings. So for you guys in the ag crop business and you got to make every inch count, these are the guys I 110% recommend. Rich Mendenhall and all the guys up there. Richard Paxton at Four City, Randy at Savannah, Jeff at Osborne. You're going to act like you know them for 100 years. They're just that kind of guy. So anyway, they got about 115 years of experience in doing ag. Sounds to me like it'd be kind of good people to do business with. But I cannot say enough good things. I can't do this commercial good enough for them, goodest enough for them. So they're just great people. I just love them. Again, they are, it's called Sure Ag. It's a spinoff of Sure Grow. They're located at Osborne, Four City, and Savannah. And for you guys who are out there and wanting the best for your crops and people who care, that's the ones I recommend, and I think that's the ones you ought to use. So I just love them to death. In the studio with me is Trevin Reed, and we've been taking sheep hunting. We're talking about grizzly bears, and they chomp on you and bite you, and they get mad at you real easy. Boy, they do. They got a bad attitude, don't they?
I think they do, yeah.
Yeah, they don't like anybody. They're equal.
That's right.
Kind of like talk show host. I don't like anybody anymore. What the hey, you know? I'm just kidding. Quit looking at me, God. Jesus Christ, it's a joke. It's a bad joke, but what the hey?
That's Tobin's job.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
The Hell Roaring in Montana. See, everybody I talk to said I can't afford to go sheep hunting. It's not for the faint of heart. It's an expensive venture. But the Hell Roaring in unlimited sheep tag in Montana. Well, there are five areas that you can go there. Maybe
there are five.
301, I used to know that.
301, 300, 301, or 301, 302, 303, 500, 501, 500, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so that tag is unlimited sheep tag. Now, if you apply between January 1st, I think it is, to May the 31st, is that
April
correct?
April 30th.
April 30th, you can get a tag. So you're going to go. Now then, the downside of these areas is a quota-based areas, aren't they?
That's correct.
So how do they handle this?
That's a good question. So each of those units has a 2-ram quota, and so the second ram gets killed, it goes into a killed and reported. You get a 24-hour warning saying the unit's pending closure, and then once that ram gets checked in at the actual biologist station in Billings. For the 500 units, it's then the rent that unit closes, and so then it's done. Yeah, it's
so
over.
If you're in there with a tag and the quota's been filled, you're out of luck.
You're done.
You're done. You got to go home, mm-hmm. Type thing. Now a legal ram in that area. Now we need to explain this to what we call a legal ram. How do you judge this?
That's a good question. It's in Montana. It's 3/4 curl, and so they measure that from the front base of the horn. Through any portion of the eye intersecting again with the horn. That's the easy way to do it. And there's some, if you go to the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks website, they have a pretty good explanation of what how to determine a legal ram up there. But yeah, it's a three-quarter curl in Montana.
And let's just lay it on the table. The odds of you getting one in this area is none. I mean, they're there, but they ain't.
At one point, it was less than 1%.
Less than 1%. So if you want to go up, but now I knew that going in, but it was such a religious experience for me to be back in there. I went in when me and Dave Book went in, I think, one time. I think me and Dave George Dudek went in one time, and I went in one time by myself. And I can't explain it to anybody what I saw and what it was like to be back in there. Sleeping under a rock, eating out of a can, but I enjoyed every second of it. And you know what? I was there for 10 days. I think I'd have stayed. I just ran out of groceries. I'd have got out. I wouldn't even come out of that thing. And I didn't see a legal ram all the time I was in there, and didn't care. It was
a beautiful place.
Oh, and there's elk and there's grizzly bear, and that's where they take the bad bears just in case anybody wants to go on this hunt. So you know, you got it's the real world. So, how do you went in this area? You this is your second trip in?
Third trip in.
Third trip in.
Yes, sir.
Was that at 301?
It was 500.
500.
Yeah.
And just to see a legal ram is an experience, isn't it?
That's what I've heard. I've heard that just to get in the unlimiteds and see a sheep of any type, lamb, ram, sublegal, legal. It's a rare occurrence.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys sneak into this place. It's getting to be known a little bit. I've purposely stayed off of this subject for a lot of years until you got in there and got one. And you're not allowed to come back in there for 7 years, isn't
that correct?
That's correct.
I'm on a 7-year waiting period.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's how micromanaged these sheep are on this deal. And one of the sheep they found dead up there, and they did an autopsy on him.
Wow.
They found out he just stumbled and fell off the rock and got crushed, you know. I mean, they die from natural causes, too, on the deal. So that's how intense this managed areas are on this thing. Now, when you went, were you all the way into where you wanted to go when you saw the sheep or what?
No, we weren't. We had planned to go in a little bit further than we were, and we were plenty far in. When we saw three rams, we saw so the season opens up there September 15th, and we were in there, I think, the 10th or the 11th is when – we saw this, and you know, there is a crowd of people that typically shows up the 14th, 15th. So we're trying to beat the crowd, and fortunately we did. And on the way in, we saw those three rams, and they were off too. We just happened to stop to fill up some water in a spring and catch a glimpse of sun coming off something up in this bowl, and there's three rams there. And so we're not going any further. We got water, we got sheep. We're going to find a place to set up camp. So we did. Tried to stay on the three of them for the next 4 days.
Wow.
We lost them. We were on them for three of the four. The day before the season opened, you get pack trains coming to elk hunters. There's a few outfitters up in that area, from what I understand, taking some guys. And we lost them. We found them again the morning of the 15th. Found the three-quarter curl the morning of the 15th. So was fortunate enough to get to shoot that. He's a little bigger than three-quarter curl, but he was legal and then some. Was able to harvest that one opening morning, and then we kept chasing that full curl. So three of us in there, two of us had tags. We're chasing that full curl, and we ended up seeing him and missed a shot opportunity. About 10-15 seconds, it would have gone the other way, and we would have closed the unit down.
Wow!
Just very fortunate.
Why you were, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
That's unbelievable.
What a trophy! I mean, amazing. Yeah. Really. What are the chances? Less than 1%?
I did the math. So, and there's a lot of ways to look at this. It's 0.8%, from what I understand, is the success rate in the unlimiteds. Now, there's also people that will tell you that if they sell 100 tags, 50 of the guys won't spend more than 24 hours in that area. So it is a very special area, but it is vertical, and it is nasty, and it is dry, and there are bears. You know, it's everything that – it's the perfect sheep hunt because there's just everything stacked against you.
Yeah. It's exactly why I fish.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, really, you need to get analyzed before you go in there because you got to bunk up. You get sore. I rolled my ankle in there, hurt. You know, you got to stay in the groove. You know, you didn't come there to lollygag. You came in there to harvest a sheep, and your odds are stacked against you. And I think that's why I like to hunt so much. It was impossible.
Right.
It was basically impossible to do.
That's what it's called, the impossible hunt.
Exactly. And for you to pull off, I just when you text me or called me, I went, oh man, I about pulled off the road. I went, wow.
And you were we've talked about the Hell Roaring and the Unlimiteds for years, and it was fun. I had that in reach. That's how I keep track of the unit status. My wife is she's a saint for a lot of reasons, but she's our weather updater, and she checks the status of the unit to make sure the quota hasn't been filled. So I texted her, ram down. I texted you, ram down. Mm-hmm. I texted my dad and brother, ram down. Yeah. And that was it. So it was fun.
Now, wow. How far was this shot on this ram?
281 yards.
281. Yeah. So for you, it would be a stroll in the park. For me, it would be quite a shot. You know, yeah, 3 foot putt. And did he stumble? Did he go down?
I would say sheep, for as resilient they are as they are in the mountains, they don't soak bullets up very well.
They don't.
They don't. Shot, and knew I hit him well, knew I hit him hard. Watched him stagger a little bit. He fell. He was dead where he stood.
Where do you figure them other ones were? Were they still in that area, do you figure? They went up over the hill. Did they did not like the ruckus of people coming in there, or what was going on?
Yeah, I think people disturb them a little bit.
Yeah.
The thing with the Unlimiteds are everybody that I see, or almost everybody I see, sticks to. There's one trail that runs north-south down into Yellowstone, and about every human being I see in that area is on that trail. Mm-hmm. And here's a hint for folks looking to the Unlimiteds. The sheep aren't near the trails.
Yeah.
So you got to get way off. And I think as the more foot traffic there are, the further they scatter into the other ridges.
Yeah. Now, these sheep probably maybe came out of Yellowstone, do you think, or not?
You know, I've heard both. I think some of the sheep do wander out of Yellowstone, but there are some resident sheep, and at least unit 500. And I would say Montana's. I reached out to Sean, the biologist, head sheep biologist in Montana a few years ago, and sent him an email, and 15 minutes later have a response with the questions I had.
Mm-hmm.
And he flies those units. They are on top of the sheep in those Unlimited units. Sheep across Montana, but especially in those Unlimited units. And I think there is a small resident herd in unit 500 at least. That's the rumor.
Yeah. Well, they're just very few. I mean, when you get back in there, the country is so big and vast. I remember the first one I ever saw was you with a lamp, and I didn't see it. It was a rock that moved. Yeah. They blend in so good. And I'm sitting there like an idiot, and I went, something moved over there. And I just kept looking and looking. And I went a half hour without seeing anything. All of a sudden, something moved again over there, and this thing just moved 5-10 feet, you know, and I just happened to catch a glimpse of the thing. Well, your adrenaline would go, I mean, it's a sheep, it's a sheep. And the first, they had the Hell Roaring in there, and they have an early elk season. I went in there, and when I was coming back out of there, I look on the side, and I've shown you the pictures. There's two legal rams laying on the side of a mountain. I'll go into the frosty freeze in Big Timber, Montana, and I'm sitting there with the boys, and we're giggling and laughing. I said, I saw two full court rams. You saw what? I saw two rams up in the why didn't you have a permit? I didn't know at that time I could bought a permit. I could have killed a legal ram in there. I walked by them. They knew I was there, but, I just don't think they really cared, or maybe they saw some tourists. I was on the beaten trail, and I wake up in the middle of the night about that to this day, that I was just not cut in enough to do that thing in the deal.
Well, that's why I think it's good you're talking about it. You know, sheep hunting is something that anybody can do if you're willing to put in the time and get the application in prior to April 30th, I believe. And it's a very – in fact, you saw two legal rams. It puts you in probably the 0.1% of everybody that's ever been in there.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Exactly.
What's a non-resident cost?
I think it was around $1,100, which is not – I mean, that's a significant amount of money. But if you buy an Odyssey, if I'm a Missouri resident, I buy a Kansas deer tag, I'm looking at $400 or $500. So it's relative. It's okay.
Do you have to have a guide in Montana if you're not a resident?
You do not.
Okay.
No, and that's the beautiful part about this thing. Everywhere else you go, you pretty well have to have a guide service. And this and the odds are you're not going to kill one. I mean, let's just lay it on the table but it's you might. It's that little slim hope that you're going to just to get one in there on the deal. And the more you talk to the sheep biologists, the more discouraged you get because they know. And
they tell you how it is, right?
They tell exactly. Say, hey, I saw six in this area one day, no legal rams, and they know.
They know.
They know exactly where they're at and where they're moving. It's an intense deal. I was up there, and I walked in. There was a rock fell off of a mountain, and it was as big as a studio or bigger. And I walked down the end of that rock. I didn't have nothing to do. I was just hanging out. And so I walked down, and there was a obsidian. Do you know what obsidian is?
No.
It's a clear rock. And there was a chunk of obsidian probably 15 feet across.
Oh. Wow.
And my dad was a rock hound. And so I got a bigger rock and made chunk. And it was like hitting it looked like a green quart jar.
Wow.
And I brought that piece out of there for him, gave it to him. And he was just giddy on the thing. But you just, you know, there's just things in there. One guy I talked to one time went in there and found a grizzly bear trap. It had been set since 1898 or something, you know. And it all rusted together and all that stuff. But, you know, it's just a weird, weird place to go.
It is.
It's beautiful.
Unbelievably beautiful.
Did you say you went there three times before you got a...
Yes, it was on my third trip. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that's a miracle.
It was
a miracle. As hard as you guys hunt, I know you do, but it's still a miracle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to see one is a miracle.
And that's what we said the first night we get back to, you know, we set up our camp, and it was just me and two friends. And guys, I don't care what happens from here on out. I hope we get a chance to shoot one of these. But the fact we saw one, we saw three, that's pretty cool.
Now, you're leaving in 48 days to Stone Sheep.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about Stone Sheep.
It's one of the thin horns. So I'm, as a non-resident of Alaska, I'm on a four-year waiting period to hunt sheep again in Alaska, and I'm 7 years in Montana, so I'm running out of places to hunt. My wife is gracious enough to let me go up to northern British Columbia up by Scoop Lake, the Cassiar Mountains, and chase stone sheep. So, yeah, leaving 48 days.
Now, their markings are completely weird, aren't they? They're gray with white trim on them, aren't they?
Yeah, if you took a Rocky Mountain and a doll and kind of blended them,
that's the way it looks.
What it looks like.
I got to ask you a question. Did you get to eat any of this doll sheep?
Ate all of it.
Did you? What'd you think?
It's really good meat. Now, we were hungry. I mean,
everything tastes a little better.
That's right. 7-8 days in, and we ate the whole Rocky Mountain up there, too, almost. We, 7-8 days into it, you know, meat tastes good, especially, you know, but I would say all that aside, it's good eating. They are very good eating for what they are.
Now, the other species we haven't talked about, the desert ram.
Yes, sir.
Now, that is a hunt that I think I could still do. I'm not real sure. I've got pins, bolts, and screws in my spine, which makes it very painful, but I think I could do that one on the deal. Do you know anything about that hunt?
I don't know as much about deserts as I do about the other ones. I know that there's, you know, you can draw a tag. There's some southwestern states, maybe in Colorado. California, I believe, even as well, has some desert subspecies.
Yeah. Old Mexico.
Old Mexico. That's, I think, where a lot of guys go.
I chartered one up the other day, won $60,000 for that hunt.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I don't know. You know, it's just crazy. You know, I could go to the banker and ask him, I need $60,000 to go sheep hunting, and he'd right before he tossed me on my ear.
As he probably should.
Right? Yeah, he really, really should. But those are massive horns.
They are.
They're a huge animal.
If you look at the big scores of the big Rockies, and I'm not as I love sheep hunting. The trophies is kind of secondary to me. But there's some massive desert sheep from a score perspective that come out of Old Mexico. And they're impressive to see.
And tell like it is, Old Mexico is not for the faint of heart either, down in there.
I don't think so. I mean, I watch the news. Mexico can be a little bit of a dicey place. But I would say that, I've perused their websites, and I think they do a pretty good job of taking care of protecting the guys that come down there to hunt. Obviously, their livelihood depends on.
Exactly. So what the hey. We're out of time. Trevin, thank you for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Golly, it was fun.
This was fun. Thank you, guys.
Sheep hunting is a disease.
It is. It's a
sickness. It's the most addictive thing I've ever done in my entire. I love waterfowl hunting. You do too, but there's just something about that sheep hunt. You just watch the days click by and you just count them. You know, it's like you're 48 days out, man. That's gonna be great.
I've heard it that you're in 3 days into a sheep hunt, you either never want to do it again, or it's something you think about all the time. And there's not a lot of in between.
Yeah, exactly. And it's tough.
It is.
I mean, it's like that unlimited tag. You're going to get a tag, but the odds are so stacked against you that you're absolutely going to be successful in there. It's just a frightening experience, you know, to go in there. But, you know, you got grizzly bears. It's the real world deal, you know. So I like to take Mark in there because I know I can outrun Mark Tobin.
That's the key. Yeah, bring somebody you can outrun.
That's all I'm onto. So what the heck?
Yeah, there'd be no problem with that. Yeah.
Do you think we could give away a Silverado pickup, make him nervous here on the air?
Oh, yes.
It would, wouldn't it?
Hey, if Fred's buying, we can do anything.
Yeah, right. I got to tell you, my son, we had a problem. He's got a 2017 Chevy Silverado, and I've got a couple of mechanics here in town that I deal with, one next to my business, one next to my home, and I quit going to dealers because I didn't trust them. And I felt like I always got taken advantage of. And this, I guess there's a new equipment that you have to use to be able to service these new. This is a 2017 Silverado, and my local guys didn't have this equipment to be able to service it, and I was told you got to take it to the dealer. So, you know, I'm a little over an hour away from Reed, and we took it up there. And I got to tell you, Joe is the guy that we dealt with over there, and I'm
great.
He
guy.
Was so confident when we got up there.
He's a great guy.
It just made me feel good about what was going on because he just knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you. You've got it going on. I cannot recommend Reed Chevrolet any more than 100%. Yeah. If you've got it's, you know, we've been talking for years about that's the best place to buy a vehicle.
It is. There's
it's the best place to get a vehicle service. They will not take advantage
of it. Treat you with respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all.
Just like Trevin does.
Yeah, we've got some great folks up there.
Yeah, you sure do. Well, that wraps up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The boys went by fast.
Way too
fast.
He's got to come back.
Oh, yeah, we got to get him back. He will.
After
he never
your next
will.
Hunt.
He never
That'd be
will.
Great.
Yeah, we'll get him back. I'll force him.
Good luck with that one.
We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. Go fish.
Thanks, Trevin.
Thank you, guys.